Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Brady Quinn, and it's his birthday, so he's got the night off.
got his feet up in the chair.
Happy birthday, Brady.
Smiling at everybody.
Congrats.
We wanted to also dedicate the program to Marty Feldman. Marty was a fight promoter for in the Philadelphia area for many, many years, and he passed away yesterday. And I know the funeral's tomorrow, and Chris is going to be there, but he'll be on later on to talk about Marty. We'll also have a special guest, the winner of last night's bout on the undercard of the Roy Jones fight, Mr. Joe Tiberi, will be back with us. And Joe may have a special friend with him, so we'll talk to him at that time. So, John, you had a pretty amazing month last month, or this month and last month. And you want to tell our fans about that?
I had an opportunity to join a near dear friend that works for NBC over at Radio Row for the Super Bowl, and along with the game. And being originally from up north in Massachusetts, big Patriot fan, so it was a pleasure to see. So got some star-studded people that came by, and I sent Butch a little thing where we got Mikey Garcia stopped by for an interview and had some good things to say. And surprisingly, Bud Crawford came up and looking for a potential bout there in the near future. So very happy to hear that these two might go at each other, and it'll be great for boxing. But it was a great week for me. It was a wonderful experience, and it was good to see some old friends.
Good.
Outstanding. That's good to hear. Wow.
Yeah, you said you were able to get Mikey's information. If you get that to me, I'll get it if we can get him on.
Yeah, we got Mikey's contact information. He said he'd be happy to go on and get on the show, let him know exactly what we do. And his manager was kind enough to say, look, anything to promote him and promote the sport of boxing, we're in for. So he said give him a couple of weeks, and I'll shoot that information to your Butch, and I think he'll come on. He was a great guy, very down to earth, had a lot of great things to say about the sport of boxing and his future as well. So I'm sure he's looking to promote that, with especially getting back into the ring.
And Ty, before we go any further, give us a plug on your new venture.
What new venture, sir?
Your film?
Oh, well, the film's it came out actually January of last year. It premiered at Sundance, and right now it's scheduled to be released March 1st. It was picked up by Lionsgate Films, and it's going to be released on Tribeca Shortlist, which is a streaming platform akin to Netflix, but it's for exclusive content material movies. So, yeah, flying out to Texas March 11th, actually. They're flying us out to the South by Southwest Film and Video Festival to do a premiere party for us. And we're looking forward to it.
And the name of the film again?
Film Hawk.
Okay. Good.
Got it.
Well, you guys had
big festival out there
big
for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's a big festival out there. Obviously a wonderful opportunity, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Ty, you guys had I don't know if anybody had a chance. Oh, you know, one other thing. I know there's a fundraiser tonight in Monroe County. And, John, you want to tell us about that?
Key West is known for its baseball. We have some prominent MLBers that are out there, but we're a big baseball town, which draws, a couple thousand fans for a game. And being a small island, that's a huge crowd. So baseball is a big sport down here, and me and my wife are going to go out there and help raise some money for that team. And they travel a lot throughout not only just the state of Florida, throughout the country. So we're just going to do that tonight, and hopefully those raise a little money for those kids, and hopefully they can go on and only continue their education, but be able to go on and take in that sport and not come out the pocket so much.
Well, maybe the people in that area, if they may be listening, you want to give them a location?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Rex Reach Field tonight. There is a game tonight, and pregame we're going to be out there selling some food and selling some memorabilia along with some T-shirts and hats. And you're right, Butch, we got some people listening that I know. I just got a text. But so we'll be out there tonight. If you want to come out there, we'll be out there at about 10 p.m. Game time is 7:30, so come out and join us, and hopefully help raise some money for these kids and go on and wish them luck tonight.
Great. Well, Ty, you guys had a fight last night. in the Chase Center. It was telecast on pay-per-view, of course. Do you want to start with that one?
Well, you know, it's funny, Butch, because I actually met David Feldman this past week.
Oh, good.
Tuesday. Yeah, he came by to visit the fight gym that Vito and I train at. I was there. Mm-hmm. Happened to meet him. He told me to tell you hi.
Oh, good.
And he was also telling me, you know, that he was dealing with his father's
yeah.
situation. So, but he said he had a great card, and you know, they were really excited about bringing Roy Jones down to Wilmington, and Roy Jones stepped in the ring at his advanced age. A lot of people don't think he should be fighting. I think it's a matter of competition. He had a good friend of the show, Bobby Gunn, on in front of him, and you know, he took Mr. Gunn out. I believe it was eight rounds. Didn't watch the fight, just watched the stoppage. So you know, I think for Roy in particular, as long as he's fighting at a certain level, he can bring the fans. It was a packed house from everything I've heard. And, you know, it was a great event for the city of Wilmington. And that's one thing Roy can do. He still can, you know, bring the fans, put on a great event, and be an ambassador to boxing. You can't expect him to box at a world championship level. But, you know, having Bobby Gunn in front of him, you know, he had a tough, experienced guy in front of him, a guy that definitely wasn't his class. But, again, for a traveling circus, so to speak, traveling events, I think Roy can do this and, you know, have some fun with it.
And he did do a great job with the win. We also had on the undercard, we had our own buddy Joey Tiberi, and Joey's going to come on at 6:30 and talk about his fight. So I'm going to leave that too. But Joey had a tremendous fight against Brian Timmons, and ended with a 204. On the fourth round, so he'll go into that.
You know, and that's a very good point. That's the way a Roy Jones promotes the sport of boxing, because he gets mm-hmm. more eyes on the undercard guys. All of a sudden, more people get to see Joey's win. You know what I mean? So it was really good. He helped the regional prospects get more glow and more shine on them. So that's a good thing for these guys.
That's a great point, because I had a lot of people call. And leading up to the Roy Jones, hey, why is he still doing it? Why is he still doing it? And mm-hmm. it's just more than just love for the sport and letting it go. Roy knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, he's obviously a great commentator with the knowledge that he brings from his ring experience. He's since been a manager. And, you know, the fight last night, though, it still showed Roy's skill. It still showed the old Roy. He might not have been an opponent that's up to his level, but he sold tickets. He put butts in seats. And he brought some notoriety to the undercard. And that's a great point you just made.
Thank you. And think about this. Why do we all go to the gym and still train?
Yeah.
And nobody's paying us. In most cases, we're paying them. Right? So it's no different. If we could do it and we go in the gym and we spar, we compete, we just don't get paid for it. So, you know, obviously I can't fight Roy Jones. And at this point, Roy Jones can't fight, you know, a Kovalev. You know, but there are levels to this, and if you can entertain, if you get entertained, you can, I say, live your life, man, you know?
Sure. Hey, Z, what do you think about the Peterson fight tonight?
Well, I think that Peterson, he's been off for a little while, a little inactive, but one thing Peterson's always been is sharp. He's in against a guy that I think that's pretty good to be in after a layoff. Although, the guy, Peterson, he's a guy where he could beat anybody after the third round. If you get him, you usually have to get him early. And you have to buzz him, or you have to definitively win those, you know, early rounds against him, knockdowns, you know, of the such. Tim Bradley, Victor Ortiz, but after that, he gets to warming up. He's unstoppable to me. He's one of those guys to where once the fight settles down, it always seems to settle down his way. So outside, I haven't seen him lose past round three. You know, but early, you know, he's a little chinny early. He seems to take the shots better as the fight goes on. But he's a bit chinny early, and he'll get caught cold, as Matisse, when he knocked him out, as he showed. But outside of that, Peterson, he's getting a little older, and his fighting style is not – I don't see it aging as much as others, just because he's not a guy who's based on talent as much as – you know, he has talent, but his fighting skill is not based on talent at all. I mean, he's a very, very fundamentally technical guy. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting, and I'm glad to see him back in the ring again.
Ty?
Lamont Peterson was off for all of 2016. 33 years old, that's a long time off, as, you know, as we all get up in years. I concur with everything Zito said. The one thing I slightly disagree with is, although I think he's a favorite tonight, I think coming in off a year layoff, he's in a little tougher than if I'm his promoter, I would like to put him in. David Avendiason, the guy who he's fighting tonight, he's more known for beating Shane Mosley in a title eliminator. The winner was supposed to get a shot at Keith Thurman before Thurman went to the unification bout with Danny Garcia. In that fight, he didn't necessarily distance himself from Shane Mosley. Beat him clearly, but you know, he just couldn't pull away. And but he has some skill sets that, for an aging fighter coming off a year layoff, it could present a little bit of trouble. The reason why I do like Peterson in this fight is because of everything Zito said. After the third round, once he warms up to the task, he kind of becomes a fundamental work machine. And he's, you know, even for a guy who's been off for that long, you don't lose fundamentals. You lose a little bit of sharpness, but you don't lose fundamentals. And if your gas tank is right, he's still going to be able to work. His body shots when he gets going are pretty, pretty impressive. So I think it could be tricky for a few rounds, and it could be a little tighter than it should be. But I like Peterson in the fight as well.
Hey, John, let me ask you, let me move over to one other fighter that has been off for a while and has even been inside for a while, Adrian Broner. He's coming back after a layoff, and what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, the first thing that comes on, jumps out at me, is the way that Broner has led up to the fight. This is not the Adrian Broner that we have seen in the past. And, you know, a lot of people think he's humbled. And the one thing he said, I'm no longer a trash talker. I'm a businessman boxer. Kind of going to where, you know, always looking at his mentor, Floyd Mayweather, even when they had problems. Though, obviously, Floyd can back up his talk, where Broner hasn't always been able to do that. In addition, Broner has been having trouble making the weight. So, you know, his last fight could have been a title fight. He missed weight by a half a pound. And now he goes into fighting Granados, who they happen to be friends. So I would like to see if this is going to be the same Adrian Broner in his next fight, whether he wins or loses tonight, or he's going to go, or he's going to come back as his old self, because him and Granados are very good friends. They were sparring partners. They're friends outside the ring. So this is a different Adrian Broner. I think this is going to be a good fight. And Granados has pulled an upset in the past. And I honestly think this is going to be a good fight and a challenge for Broner.
Ty?
I completely agree with Captain John. Granados has that kind of style when he gets going that has proven to be kind of troublesome for Broner in the past. You know, people look at Broner and they say, oh, you know, he's not focused and he's wasted his career. He's lost to two guys. He lost to Sean Porter and Marcos Medina. First of all, those were bad style matchups for him. Broner's an economical, for the most part, counterpuncher. He will lead aggressively at times, but basically an economical counterpuncher is always a tough stylistic matchup when he has to go against a swarming pressure fighter who throws a lot of punches, in which case he had to against two physically very strong guys in Porter and Madonna. So I don't think that he's given credit enough for what he's been able to accomplish. I think people kind of look at his career, and I think if he had been sharp and had been focused, he still would have probably lost to both of those guys. I think those two guys would always kind of have his number until he matures into something more. And I think Granados is capable of doing that on some levels, but he's not world class, and he's going to be a step behind, a punch behind all fight. However, I do think, like Captain John, it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a competitive fight, but I think Adrian will be the clear winner in the fight, Adrian Broner as opposed to Adrian Granados.
I absolutely agree with Ty and Captain John. Bronner, I mean, he's I said it last week. When Bronner, if he can get focused in his professional life, then I think he can be, you know, as they say, the bee's knees. He can be, you know, that guy. He's his own worst enemy. He is his own worst enemy. A Bronner before he fought Porter and Madonna, I thought him and Granados would be that would be a very good matchup. But Bronner right now, he's been through, you know, basically he's becoming into those veteran years. You know, he's fought high level competition. He's only going to fight higher level competition. So, and Granados, he's a very very good fighter. He's a guy who's going to be there, but that's the problem. He's going to be there for Bronner to kind of end up doing what he wants to do. He can pressure, but he's not going to pressure Bronner any way that Bronner hasn't been, you know, pressured before. And one thing is, and I like what Broner's saying, and this is talk that you have never heard from Bronner. So usually when you hear a talk like that, that person tries to implement some sort of change. And I just hope that it's successful, because I would love to see Bronner at the top of his game, what he can be.
I think Captain John made a very, very valid point, very good point. Bronner appears to be very focused in this fight, not talking trash. But it's easier to be focused and not talk trash when you're doing business with your friend. He's making money with his friend. Like I said, they know each other very well. They spar together several times. You're not going to talk trash to Adrian Granados. These guys are buddies. And he's going to go in there and respect him as an opponent and respect what he can do, because he respects him as a friend, obviously. Like Captain John said, let's see how he is the next fight, because the true definition of changing is being able to do something different consistently, not just once. So it'll be interesting. What we got to remember with Adrian Bronner is he's still only 26, so he's not even in his physical prime yet, and he still, you know, has some growing up to do. So I expect him to make mistakes, and I expect him to fall back here and there, but what I'd like to see is if he started growing. And kind of like Captain John said, I think the next time he's out, win or lose, we'll really know if he started growing as opposed to this time.
Yeah, I think Bronner wins the fight. I think that the pressure style, Granados, like you said, he's not going nowhere. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Mm-hmm. And Bronner is a solid counter puncher. So, you know, I like to see, obviously, we'd like to see a little more power from the man, but you're right, he's 26 years old. He's still, you know, with the rounds that he has, he's still learning his ring presence and what he can do in that ring. And there's going to be, in him moving up in weight, there's going to be some big fights and opportunities for him. And if he does right and he can stay out of trouble, keep his mind in the business instead of, you know, elsewhere at strip clubs or DUIs or whatever he's getting involved in, there's a prime opportunity to be the next, you know, not the best thing, but definitely get up to that next level in boxing where he has the potential to be. It's right now, it's a waste, and I hate to say it, but it's a wasted talent on what he can do. We mentioned the two losses that he had. Those are two solid fighters. Those are no slouches. Yeah. It's not like he took one in the slouch. Those are two solid fighters, and he has a talent. Now let's see if he can be focused and what he can do with it for not only this fight, but the next one as well. And then I'll start believing.
And you know what? And I think to kind of further Captain John's point, you know, I would be a believer of him not wasting his potential if I looked at him in his last fight and said, you know what, now this guy, you know, could beat a Marcos Madonna or Sean Porter. But I don't. I see the same guy. You know what I mean? I don't see a guy who's evolved, if anything. So I'll really know, you know, just looking at the evidence in the ring, once he starts to evolve as a fighter, then you know he's starting to take the craft more seriously. I really like Granados. I was pulling for him when he was fighting Amir Imam. I didn't think he was going to get the job done, but you could see him pulling Imam into deeper and deeper water, and he was touching on him. The only thing difference is if you pull Bronner to a firefight, I think Broner's going to be better at a firefight than Granados too. So, you know.
So yeah, as I said before, Bronner, you know, he has fought better. I think he's beaten better. He's lost the better. I think Granados, as good as he is, he's just not on that level. Because both, we look at Madonna and Porter, as pressure fighters, which they are. But both of these guys within that element can box pretty good to kind of
the
get to where they want to go.
Pressure fighters, exactly. They have the subtleties that make them effective pressure fighters.
Exactly, because if you can't box, then you can't be an effective pressure fighter. That's simple and plain. You can be a bull sometimes, but not against everyone. So, and these guys, you know, against world class people, that you know. So that's what Broner, you know, he's lost to these guys, and also Broner's lost to these guys on his route to maturity. So you know, he's not a guy who's duck competition. I mean, he'll step in with guys, you know, who are perceivably tougher. And it's funny because we talk about Adrian Broner and his route that he's taken and his potential waste of talent. And then we, you know, right after we talk about a guy like Lamont Peterson, a guy who's probably, you know, who could maximize his talent no better than, you know, anyone can. What he has, you know, as far as inside of the ring. So
you know what? To even further that point, I remember with both fights, the Madonna fight and the Sean Porter fight, Zito, you picked Madonna to win, and we definitely both picked Porter. We didn't think Broner would win a Porter fight at all. Nah. So it's funny because, you know, we could see him wasting his career, yet his two losses, he was, you know, basically, at least in our eyes, was no more than 50-50 to an underdog going in anyway, you know, so, you know, but you just know, even watching those fights, you figured if he, you know, a lot of guys, you see them mature during the fight. I didn't see that with Broner in either fight. What I saw is that he's a very durable guy who will bite down on his gum shield and fight back. But what I didn't see, he'll try harder, but what I didn't see was the ability to try something different, to adjust, you know.
Well, and everyone likes a good story as well. And Granados being from Chicago, you know, this fight is being dedicated to a friend that was an up-and-comer welterweight, Ed Brown, who was unfortunately killed by senseless violence, shot in the head.
Yeah.
And Granados was at his bedside, you know, the entire time. They were very good friends. And, you know, everyone likes a good story. And with Granados, with his fight, he's got a 5-fight win streak. He's coming in against Browner, who's kind of got a little rust on him. So, again, you have almost the same thing with Lamont Peterson. There's a chance here. And, don't be wrong. I'm predicting Broner wins, but there's a chance that Granados can go on and steal this one as well, just like he did in the Iron fight.
I tell you what, I would like Granados a little more if he had been himself a little busier, because he's been off for quite some time too. So that's the only thing that actually, if he had been a little busier, I would think this fight is a lot closer. You know, one thing too, Granados credits Adrian Broner for helping him get through Brown shooting, for helping him deal with that. So, I mean, these guys are really good friends.
Hey, guys,
we have a special
guest on with us tonight. We got the winner of a fight last night at 2 minutes and 9 seconds into the fourth round in the knockout, Joe Tiberi. Joey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
We're doing great. You're on with Captain John, Ty, Zito, and myself.
Tap Jaw Tiberi.
How
you feeling, Joe?
Feeling good. Feeling a little sore today, but nonetheless, feel good.
So you came out healthy, no injuries and everything. We're all set and ready to keep moving forward.
Yep.
All right. So tell us what you felt you were being dealt with from your perspective. We got a chance to watch the fight from the outside looking in, but for those who never sparred, been in the ring before, tell us what you saw as this opponent came at you for these four rounds before you were able to decapitate him.
It was a slow start. I knew he was wild, so I kind of wanted to be more defensive because I figured I knew once he started, I could see where he was wild at. Kind of figure him out. I knew that he would eventually expose himself, and it took a couple rounds for him really to do that, for me really to start being a little more offensive. But once I started really establishing the jab, or he was really exposing himself, and he caught him with a couple good shots, and jumped on him when we had the chance.
Hey Joe, let me ask you this: you hadn't fought in, you know, like 2 years, 2.5 years, and your first fight back, is on the undercard of a Roy Jones pay-per-view in your home city, with probably the biggest crowd you've fought in front of. How did you feel walking into the ring and preparing for that moment?
Honestly, I mean, I knew it was going to be a big crowd. I knew it was all, you know, it was an opportunity, and, you know, I had to win. There was no other way around it. It was, you know, once I got out there and I heard it, I heard the crowd and everything. I mean, it's just I felt all it. I was speechless about the whole thing. And, you know, the closer I got to the fight, considered it as it was sparring. I was sparring pretty much no headgear on, and I was getting paid for it, and I got to do it in front of a lot more people.
It's stupid.
So I was able to really keep focused and not build everything up to what it could have been, and you know, then I could have started playing mind games and head games with myself as far as being, you know, on the Roy Jones card and everything like that. So that would have been easy to take it that route, but I just kept it controlled to where I broke it down to nothing major, and it was just a four round fight. It was a sparring session, you know, but it was good to get the feeling back of being in the locker room and waiting to warm up, and you know, that whole thing took a little while to, you know, I kind of had a little, you know, the feelings I missed that, but that didn't take long to really get used to, and it was good. I mean, everything worked out well, and you know, couldn't have gone any better.
Hey guys, we have a very special guest, a guy I had a chance to watch probably one of the toughest fighters I've ever seen in my life. I used to love to get down to St. Anthony's and watch him just take people apart. We got Joe Tiberi Sr. Joe, how you doing tonight?
Okay, but how you doing?
We're doing great. Congratulations on the
Hey, Joe, thanks for coming on.
So well last night.
Yeah, I was really happy. Kind of had a game plan. I know when I was fighting, I had the same situation. I broke an ankle 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I was out for a year and a half. And so I knew what Joey had to go through. And my trainer at the time was Carmen Graciano. And he had me basically just control the fight so it would be at my pace with a jab, with a good stiff jab. And that's what Joey did in that fight, if you guys noticed. He kept him off balance.
Yep. Yeah. It looked like one of your fights from years past. I mean, there's so much similarity.
Yeah, you know,
his hands are as fast as yours, and you must. Is there some type of different training that you're given now than you were when he was first out there?
Well, Joey kind of. I don't know if it was Joey or just the. Situation around here was where do you get the real good sparring we usually get? We had a lot of amateurs we work with, but he had Omar Douglas, who's pretty good, a local guy. And as far as the sparring, wasn't a whole lot of sparring. Joey did a lot of road work, swimming. His body was solid. His mind.
I noticed on the first go round of the news conference when they had him standing, and then the other day when he was standing behind Feldman, that he seemed to be in better condition than he's ever been, and it
Joey
had to attribute it to you.
Yeah, this is the best condition because he constantly stayed in the gym, not the box gym, but you know, around here to the. He would swim and was constantly swimming and doing a lot of treadmill, which I'm really in favor of. But he liked it, and he kept his wind up. His wind was great. As you see in the fourth round, he just opened up on it.
Great.
The fight was over.
Great. Yeah. Joey, with all the additional training that you were doing and with this win now, I know you want to get back in the ring. Is there anybody that you're looking to take on?
It all depends on how everything plays out and what the next move is as far as going up in rounds and what's, you know, I definitely, it took me a little while to get the back of the feel of everything with being in the ring. I have a couple of people that I'm in mind, but I think I might, I need to get a sixth round. I need to get more than a four. I mean, I wasn't supposed to be a sixth rounder, and they dropped us into a four. It didn't really bother me because I was coming off the, I had a cold, and my dad was telling me that everything happens for a reason, and I kind of just rolled with it, and I wasn't looking at it as when I fight this atmosphere. And most importantly, it was important that we got the win. That was the biggest thing,
right.
And we got to stop it, David, which, you know, obviously, that's huge. I mean, that's what I really wanted. I knew the guy was tough. He was a great guy. I talked to him a lot afterwards. He had a unique style to him. He was awkward, and you know, it wasn't until I really started opening up and catching with some body shots that I was able to really have my way with him and just set the pace at that point. But I just want to see when we can hopefully get back, hopefully in April, to kind of just stay busy. We'll definitely get a sixth rounder this next time, and then see where we go from there. That's kind of where I think it should be. I just definitely move up and get a sixth rounder, and then just go from there.
You know, Joe Senior, I really had had enjoyed each and every one of your fights. I mean, I've never seen anybody be able to take people apart like you did. But some of our younger listeners may not know of all the people that you had fought. Can you give us a background of some of the fights that you had?
Well, to be honest, I really haven't fought too many, I guess you could say, top prospects. I really, you know, with having the layoff I had, I really, and not really being as active, I really haven't had much of a what's the word? I really don't have too many names really under my belt. You know, it just hasn't been. I haven't been as active to where I really have put together a lot. So that's where we're going to go from here. We're going to start now. This is where we're actually going to start pulling some names out of the hat and start getting some more recognized fighters. So a lot of people aren't really know half the people I fought before, but they're going to know in the future. It's all going to start coming now. That's probably
great.
The best way to answer that one.
And Joe Senior?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you give us a rundown? A lot of our listeners are under the age of 40, and although they know your name, and they don't really know the level of which you had fought. Can you give us some of the names that you had fought? Some of the big boxers you fought.
Well, Frank, you know, I'm kind of like, this is my Joey's turn to shine. I'd rather more or less focus on him. I mean, I could, you know what I mean? Because it's his turn to shine. You know, the same thing happened to Al Tribbiani and me.
Right.
And Al said the same thing. He said, sir, he said, this is Joey's time to shine. And I don't go anything he has to do for the fights where it's about Joey, and it is about Joey, you know. And I'd rather, I mean, I've fought some good guys, of course.
I know.
And,
you were in the Carmen Graziani era, and you had a lot of good fights, both in the Delaware area and around. And you certainly did make it a special night when people paid the money to come in to see you. You made it a special night for everybody. So for that, I'm grateful because I was one of the guys paying.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks. Joey last night really, he brought that back to me. And how many friends that I had there. Charlie Messina was there. Several other people that had been around back then saying that. I said, boy, Joey looked like you. They were saying it. And he was punching harder. Because he was more or less following his jab, as all Carmen's fighters. Whenever anybody's seen Carmen's fighters, they always say,
That's a Carmen Graziano fighter. Look at that jab that guy's got. Look at that. Look how his combinations are. And Joey fought just like that. He had nice power last night and good combinations.
Yeah, we have have our resident boxing historian, Dr. Chris, on, but I've been trying to get a hold of him. I guess he either turned his phone off or left it in the car again. But he talks about you all the time, Joe.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question for Joe. I got a question for Joey Butch. And, you know, fans are able to go on and see, you know, fighters that are on TV, and obviously I'm sure that their opponent gets to see some tape. How hard is it for you to go on and train for somebody with very little footage or information, and how do you usually get that information?
I'm not really big on looking tape up personally on anybody. I like to for this fight, we were able to we just stuck to what we needed to work on and what we knew. You know, we knew the little information that I personally looked up on him was that he was older, but he was also active. So, you know, we waited till, like I said, I didn't really look much up, so I waited till I wanted to wait at the weigh-in to kind of see how he was built. And that's when we kind of saw that, you know, my dad noticed that, you know, he's like, yeah, once we start going that body, it's going to be a wrap. So, you know, we worked on establishing a strong jab for this camp, following up with some right hands and the left hook. We really, really worked on a lot of hooks to the body, and that's really that's what we stuck to. And eventually, it all came once I got more confidence and started, you know, seeing how he was his style. The jab set everything up, and we just worked off of that. And we really didn't have to actually look into him as much as most people usually typically do, or, you know, stuff like that. So we were able to establish our own type of game plan and just stay on that, and we just all came together.
And building on that question, as for those that you know, weren't able to see the fight and they're going to watch it, you had your game plan. As the fight went on, did you have to make any adjustments? Or did your original game plan seem to go on and stick for you?
Well, I kind of I started out at a slower pace. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, I felt great as far as the shape and endurance and cardio. I felt good. So I know the only way that, you know, I wanted to see him. I wanted to dictate the pace. I wanted to control it. So I was pretty much playing more of a counter role, I guess, because I was letting him establish it. I wasn't over committing or anything like that. So I still had my defense there. I was able to roll if I needed to roll and come back with anything, but I kind of just let him do it, and I was kind of feeling him out more or less. And then once my dad said the jab was keeping him off balance, I just kept throwing it out there just more and more and more, and it just, the more I felt with 2 and 3 jabs, I was right in on him, and it was right there for the hooks, and it just opened him up. And, you know, then a couple hooks, and he was hurting, he was feeling them, and just kind of, you know, then it just led to everything else.
Well, beautiful. Congratulations on the win once again, and we look forward to seeing more of you. And I thank you very much for what you and your father done for the sport of boxing.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's one thing that you can say that the Tiberi name is extremely well known throughout boxing, and you certainly are carrying on that torch of being a man in the ring there with a clean record, both in and out of the ring, both good guys, good living guys. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Joey Jr. Actually, this is Vito. I want to congratulate you on your victory. I have a question. Now, after this fight, after the long layoff, and after this fight, is there any technical things, if any, that you feel that you have to work on?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want to work on my footwork more and my head movement. he wasn't. I just, you know, I felt like I got hit with a lot of shots. Not a lot of shots, but some of the shots I got hit with, I probably shouldn't have. But yeah, I kind of had a, you know, I really didn't focus on like my balance and my footwork a lot this fight because I was so into my cardio. I really, like I said, I put my cardio at the top of the list to make sure that that's what I really wanted, and that's, I ran so much. That's why I was in great shape. I feel good. I want to keep that where we are now. Like, I'm going to take this weekend off, you know, take a couple of days off this coming up week, but I want to get right back to it. I don't want to lose where I'm at because I worked hard to get here. And, you know, we were training for a 6-round fight from the gate, and the fact that it got dropped down to a 4, it wasn't even an issue. You know, we were putting in rounds. We were, you know, like my dad said, we didn't get the most sparring, but we got high caliber sparring. So where I feel like my endurance was able to get more rugged rounds and tougher sparring with the little bit we got. That where, you know, we were doing it for a 6-round fight, but we were only fighting a 4, to where it was still able to all carry over and all tie in together and still give us everything we needed to go out there and perform.
Good. Ty, any questions for Joey or Joe?
No, Joey, I just thought you looked really sharp last night, specifically coming off of a layoff. And just looking forward to seeing more of you in there. Your new nickname is Tapjaw now because you put it on it, man. It was good to see, and it was good to see the crowd give you the boost that they needed, man. Looking forward to seeing more of you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, last week when we were talking to you, you did mention that you would probably carry the thing as far as the fan crowd, the crowd rather, and you certainly did. You almost filled the place on your own, and I'm sure that the guys that were running it were very happy to have you on that card. The one thing I did mention to you off air was that Feldman and I was talking to two of the other guys. They were very impressed with the way you came off of the press conference, the way you held yourself, the way you were able to articulate yourself, and I'm sure that's going to go a long way for you.
Yeah, there was everything. I mean, for the most part, it was, you know, it was a beautiful thing. I mean, it was a little crazy last night because a bunch of like 4 fights fell out, so like, they had to make and stretch fights, and, you know, they had to, like, get everything together because I guess you have to have a certain amount of fights on pay-per-view. And, yeah, with losing 4 fights, you know, you had to, like, stretch everything out. And they were able to, you know, it was crazy. And I know, like, there was a line here and it was this. And they had us getting ready, and they told us 5 different times that we were fighting all over the place. And nobody knew nothing. And the commission would come back and tell us one thing, and then security would tell us another thing. So there was so much confusion going on, and, you know, they were able to bounce back and put it all together. And then, I talked to Dave. He was, you know, I told him, I said, I killed it on tickets. I covered half the show on my ticket sales alone. And I said, the bigger you give me a fight, the bigger the fight I'm getting, the more people that's going to come. I mean, this was originally a 6-rounder. Got dropped to a 4-rounder. I sold over 200 tickets, $75 a piece. I mean, I'm getting that type of love and support. We got to come back. I mean, you just got to put a couple other guys on here to carry their weight, or at least half of it. And sure. You already know what I'm going to say. I mean, you've heard it, so... you know, and I'm grateful for that. I had a very good turnout. The support was unreal. It was, you know, I feed off of it, but on top of it, I mean, it was a beautiful turnout. I mean, you heard it. I mean, it was such a good feeling to be able to come off a layoff like that and still be able to, like, just, even though it was a 4-round fight, I mean, for a 4-round fight to sell that many tickets is just, you know, it became like, who was Roy Jones? I don't even think people were talking to me like they didn't even watch him. Like, a lot of people came, obviously, that
baseball ticket for me, came to support me, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people didn't even care about Roy after my fight. I mean, we got a lot of positive feedback, so I mean, it was great. I'm just hoping that somebody takes advantage of it and keeps me busy, because it'll be worth it.
Good. Well, guys, we want to thank you both for coming on with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Joe Sr., we hope to get you back when Chris is on, so you guys can go over some, with Chris and you could be able to talk about the old days. I'm sure that'll probably be a 2-hour show. Cody, I appreciate everything you do for us. You're a terrific act. You're a terrific guy in the ring, and a tremendous person. I know as a person. So thank you both for coming on with us, and we look forward to having you on many, many more times.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. So Z, we're going to go back to you on the Sosha Lomachenko fight coming up. What do you think about that?
Well, Sosha is a good fighter. I mean, people, the boxing world, as well as us, we're high on Lomachenko. Sosa's a good fighter. He had a fight with Nick Walters. I think, what was it called, a draw, maybe?
Yeah.
I think Nick Walters clearly won, but Sosa, he made a good account of himself in that fight. One thing is, Lomachenko, he's that guy. And right now, I mean, Sosa, he's not going to present Lomachenko with anything, you know, that Lomachenko really hasn't seen before. And, first of all, he has an extensive, successful amateur career. But, I mean, with his pro career, he's fought top-level guys. I mean, he's not even in his 10th professional fight, and he's already fought in a few champions. Rocky Martinez, Orlando Salido, Nick Walters. I mean, you know, this guy right now is he's that guy. Sosa, he's going to present maybe some trouble with the pressure and just the constant, you know, work rate, which Lomachenko is going to eventually slow down. I mean, when you open up, he opens up, and he's usually successful. He's always seems one step ahead of his opponent, and I don't see this being different for Sosa.
Okay. Ty?
Lomachenko's a clear favorite over anybody he fights until he moves up to 135 and maybe faces a Mikey Garcia. Outside of that, maybe a Jorge Linares. But at 130, he's a clear favorite over anyone he fights. And the fact of the matter is 130 is a very deep division with Salido, the guy who just won the title against Fernando Guerrero, Miguel Burchell. That's the division of Edner Cherry, who's about to fight Super O, Omar Douglas, in case you didn't know that, Butch. So 130 is a deep division, but no matter how you clean it, you know, cut it or slice it, you put any of those guys in with Lomachenko, Lomachenko's a huge favorite over those guys.
You have another, Omar Douglas and another Philadelphia area fighter coming back in March 17th, your buddy, Mr. Mansoor. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he's fighting Travis Kaufman, who's from Pennsylvania. So,
right.
You know, and Kermit Cintron is also on that card. But obviously the fight I'm looking most forward to is our good friend Edner Cherry against my good friend's son, Super O, Omar Douglas. So
yeah.
Be pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's I talked to talked to Edner the other day at the gym, and he is in terrific shape. He's ready to go, and I'm glad to see him back in the ring.
This is a can't miss fight. This is not a Pedraza who's going to be running away from Edner Cherry. This is two guys who are literally going to go straight at each other. So this will be a very entertaining fight for however long it lasts.
Yep. John, I know you have a social engagement, and we're up at the end of our hour here. I don't want you getting in any trouble. But We appreciate.
Well, I thank you very much, guys,
for coming on.
It's always a pleasure to go on and join you. Always a pleasure to go on and get some knowledge and obviously having the guest on. And I just want to say thank you very much, and I look forward to joining you guys next Saturday.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Ty, you want to lead us out?
Hey, man, it was great having you guys all together, us, you, Zito, Butch, Captain John. Great having the Tiberis on. They are the fighting family of Delaware, so it was always great to talk to them. Bob is their co-pilot, and we'll see you guys next week.
See?
Oh, man, it's been another wonderful week. I want to thank Captain John. I want to thank Joe Senior and Junior Tiberi. I want to thank you guys, all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Butch?
I want to thank everybody for coming on. I just text Joe and his dad. Thank them, Captain John, for spending the time with us. We were able to – we hope that they make a lot of funds for their baseball team. Ty, I really am – I can't say how proud I am that you've been such a success in the in your new new career, Zito. It's always a pleasure being with you and to listen to you. And I know that you've had some success in training fighters as well as being in there and having a great time. We also want to send our best wishes out to an old family friend, Mr. Mel. Hope he's doing well. I hope he's at home for a while, and we're looking forward to getting together very shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, just let them know you know they're there. A handshake, a smile, a nod, anything. The best thing you could ever say to anybody in a uniform is, be safe, my brother or my sister. Remember, freedom is not free. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives on the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kalkap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anarfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department. Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent. Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth. Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Argus Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, Special Inspector FDLE, Vinny Galaccio. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shema Israel, ma son Hashem, vorat fed hakuig again, ma Shema Israel. did break the bravest in the field.
County dispatched in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.